Thank you for tuning in to the Essential Church Podcast, a church where we focus on restoration over denomination. If you're in the Virginia Beach area and would like to find out more about Essential Church, visit our webpage at essentialchurch.com.
When we first met to talk about starting this church, there was only about 30 of us, and less than half the people were able to make that first meeting. And all we wanted was to be an authentic representation of what Jesus had in mind when he started the local church. See, we read in the New Testament that Jesus had this vision that whenever we would come together as a church, we would become the body of Christ. We would become a physical manifestation of the presence of Christ, so that when somebody comes in our doors, they would know what it's like to be in the presence of Jesus when they come to church. And so when we opened our doors, 128 people showed up that very first Sunday, and over the months, it just continued to grow, and it continued to grow. And so we would share communion together, and we would talk about how this is a representation of the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that we need that reminder week in and week out that he has loved us and redeemed us and forgiven us. And people continue to come, and then, well, and then this happened.
Huge facility, 7 acres of land. Email just said we're going to give it to you.
There you go. Yeah. And so that first Sunday when we came to check this place out, it looked completely different than it does right now. So we just came together, we enjoyed a meal here at the place, and then we got to work. And we pretty much gutted this church, all the way down to the studs. We ripped out everything in the foyer. And it was just amazing, the church becoming the church. We had a need for a steel beam to make our foyer what it is. And wouldn't you know, I got up in front of the church and just said, is there anybody here who happens to know anybody who can put up a steel beam? And somebody raised their hand and said, that's what I do for a living. Let me see what I can do to help you out. And it was just amazing. When we opened our doors that first Sunday in this building, we actually doubled in size as a church. We went from a church of about 150 to a church of 300 literally in 1 week. And it's just continued ever since. Just a few short years after we moved in here, we had the need to expand the building a little bit more, and so we've continued to do more renovations. We've increased the size of the worship center. And amidst all that, because of the fact that you all continue to give back a portion of what God has blessed you with, in less than, I think, 2-3 years, I don't know what it was, we actually paid off the mortgage, not by doing any special fundraising, but just simply because you give back a portion of what God has blessed you.
2, 1,
there's nothing better than being a part of somebody's story of when they talk about how they were once lost, but now they're found. Somewhere in the midst of them telling their testimony, telling their story, they mention your name because you were the one who shared the love of Christ, because you were the one who was loving on their children, because you were the one who was greeting them out in the parking lot, because you were the one who sat down over coffee and shared with them that this life is about nothing more than a loving relationship with Jesus Christ. When we set out, all we wanted to do was be an authentic representation of what Jesus Christ had in mind when we started the church. I could not have predicted the first 5 years or the first 10 years. I could not have, if you had asked me so long ago, Where do you think you'll be in 10 years? There's almost nothing that would have been on the script. But I do know this. We serve a God who says that He can do and will do immeasurably more than all that we could ask or imagine. And I said this many years ago. I said, you know, there's when God calls you something that is such a high, lofty place, when He calls you to feed hundreds of thousands of people around the world, you look back at God and say, God, how could I do something like that? When He says, can you provide every single day for children in Nicaragua, that did you provide 87,000 meals, can you do that? I would look back at God and say, God, I don't know how I could possibly do that. When He says, can you reach a city that where 6 out of 10 people in your area, in your neighborhood, don't have a relationship with Christ, can you reach out and make a dent in that? And you'll see almost 500 people come into a relationship and get baptized. I would have said back to God, I don't see how I can possibly do that. God says, my calling is always going to be so much higher than what you feel adequate for. My calling is always going to be so much more than what you think you're capable of. Because I want to do immeasurably more than all that you would ever ask or imagine. I just want to begin by just simply saying thank you for being essential. I mean, really, not just the fact that you're here, the fact that you're a part of this movement, the fact you're a part of what began 10 years ago just absolutely humbles me, amazes me, floors me when I just every so often will just stop and take it all in. And just watching a video like that, you're just getting a glimpse of just how much has been there, the breadth and the scope of it all. And that verse from Ephesians chapter 3 where he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. It's funny. It's funny. You'll read a verse like that 100 times, but it's not until you've lived through an experience like we have as a church that you really understand the depth and the meaning and the audacity of that statement where he says, immeasurably more than all you could ever ask or imagine. Part of what's not in that video is Essential Church was really birthed out of the death of another church plant. It was a church that was started back in 2000. I came here to Virginia Beach. I was born here and wanted to move back to my, I guess, whatever was left of, you know, I was only here for 2 years when my dad got out of the Navy, so it's as close to a hometown as I could call it. And I just had a sense that God had called me to plant a church in my hometown. I always did. And so came here to take over a struggling church plant, and sure enough, 3 years later, it was out for the count. And we got this notice that basically said, if the next 4 months are like your last 4 months, it will be your last 4 months. And so what do you do when you have 4 months to live? Well, I, for one, I don't like to bleed out. I'd rather just go out with a bang. That's kind of, you know, my idea. I said, you know, really, let's look at the financial situation as it is. There's $10,000 in the bank. That's enough to carry us for 4 months as we just kind of die a slow death. I'm not down for that. I just want to, like, get it over with, so to speak. And so we had this question that came up. What could you do with $10,000 to leave a lasting impact for Christ? And it was actually a really fun conversation. It's if you want to have a good conversation around the dinner table sometime, have you ever had those what-if questions or what would you do if kind of thing? What would you do if you had $10,000 to leave a lasting impact in your community for Christ? What would you do? What would you do? We threw out all kinds of ideas and just threw up just kind of the craziest, the zaniest things. We could feed everybody in our community. We could invite an entire zip code to the movie theater. We could do an old-fashioned tent revival. We came with all these ideas. No idea was off limits. After all, you got $10,000 to spend, and then it's over anyway. So you might as well use it and use it or lose it, so to speak. And the problem with every idea we came up with was one glaring weakness. Lasting impact. I mean, you could invite somebody to a special event and you could do something, this one big time thing, but what happens then? I mean, if somebody were to have their interest piqued into understanding the gospel, then what? If somebody took that next step and began a loving relationship with Jesus Christ for all eternity, well, then what? And the problem was there was no lasting impact. And so as we were talking, we're like, well, okay, let's solve the lasting impact problem. What could you do to have a lasting impact in the community? It's like, well, there's only one thing. It was Jesus' idea. He came up with it, and there's really no other way to have a lasting impact. And I said, what's that? I said, to plant a church. And this is like the hard part of the conversation. They looked at me and said, well, we tried that and failed. And then when you're the pastor, that's a hard thing to hear. Like, well, we would have done that, but you messed it all up, so we're looking to do something else now. And, you know, as a guy, that's a real ego blow, if you will. But life will make you humble, and God wants you humble. Because when you're humble, he can begin to use you finally. And we begin to talk about why we were where we were at. I said, I don't think God's done with us here. I don't think God's done with this work yet. And so we talked about what it would be like to plant a church, and it was just a couple of us at the time. And, you know, looming was in just a couple days, the financial team, the trustees of this dying church plant was coming over to my house to talk about dissolving the assets. And it was basically where I needed to come up with this $10,000 plan. And so they basically said, well, do you have any ideas? And I said, well, what really are we thinking about doing? They said, well, we're just going to basically give the assets back to a mission organization and just kind of all go our separate ways. And I said, well, I do have an idea. I said, what's that? I said, well, I think God's calling us to plant a church. And once again, they all looked at me and reminded me of past failures. And I said, no, I said, God's in this. He's in this. So I said, well, lay it out for me. I was like, all right, well, I've laid it all out. And basically what it was going to take an extra $10,000 to do everything we were going to do. And one person actually had the audacity to say, let me get this straight. We're all meeting here because of a failure, and your bright idea is to somehow have God drop double the amount of funds that we have to launch a church and do something we've already failed at? I say, yes. Because one of my favorite movie lines of all time is the last line from the movie Say Anything. Anybody know what it is? They're on an airplane. And they're waiting for the seatbelt light to come on. And she says to him, nobody thinks it will work, do they? And he says, you just described every great success story. And it's true. And see, here was the reality behind this. God knew this day was coming. God knew 10 years from that point, this would be a reality. And everything you saw in that video would be a part of it. Now, I say that to go back to Ephesians where I said, we just don't even know how to ask. He is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ask. If you could have gone back to that time and had God join us at that table and say, okay, lay it on me. What do you want? Who would have had the audacity to say, all right, God, here's what we want. We're going to get this together. We're going to get this thing off the ground. But within a year's time, you better give us a property, a building, and just hand it to us. Right? And by the way, this property, back when the market was booming, back in 2008, when all this was going down, was valued at about $4 million. There was a grocery store that wanted to come in here to compete right across the street with Food Lion. And so they actually had an offer on the table that year for $4 million for this property that we're sitting on. So just imagine the audacity of sitting around that table and saying, God, well, we'd like a $4 million piece of property with a building already constructed for us so we could just kind of waltz right in within our first year. As a matter of fact, we'd like it within 10 months, please. Who would have tried that? Who would have said to God, and God, by the way, we want you to resource us so we can be a conduit of your blessing so that we can provide enough meals for 850,000 people around the world to have a meal. That's something we'd like to put on the table here if we'd like to be able to get done in this 10-year stretch. On top of that, we would like to be personally responsible for a church's feeding center. We'd like to build them a feeding center. We'd like to feed about 300 kids, 87,000 meals in the next 10 years. That's just something we'd kind of like to do. You see, I know I wouldn't have asked that because I actually met Pastor Eddie, who was connected with our La Roca, our Nicaragua mission. I met him that first year, and he laid out a vision, and he came to me with an ask. And I looked at him, and I was like, we're just getting started. You don't understand. We had 4 months to live. Right now, we're only 2 months into this thing. I ran the numbers. We're about 3 months to live right now. Okay, we can make it for another 3 months. How can we possibly commit to provide for children when I can't even tell you we're even going to be here in 3 months from now? It just seems so absurd. And yet, if God were there, he'd be whispering in your ear, no. Commit. Commit, because I'm in this. No, God, I'm not even going to ask you for that. There is very little that has happened in these past 10 years that I ever would have had the audacity to have asked God for. I couldn't. That's why he's able to immeasurably more than all you could possibly ask, because the ask would be so absolutely absurd. I mean, let's just throw out the fact that over 90% of church plants fail, okay? They're not even going to get off the ground. I mean, just to even ask God that we could even survive 10 years would have been a big ask in and of itself, let alone everything else that you just saw in that video and then some. So now to him who is able to imagine more than all you could ask or imagine. You got that right. I could not possibly imagine being a part of everything we've been a part of. But that's God. And you see, what you'll find in life, and I mentioned this many years ago in a sermon series called Into the Woods, is that we all have a sense of insecurity. We have this issue that we just don't feel like as if we're capable of doing what it is that God has called us to do. And that's why I love the story of Moses' calling. God says, I want you to go back to the most powerful nation on the face of the earth and basically to take their entire slave force out within the next month. God, I would never ask you for that. That's absurd. That's crazy. There's no way we could possibly do that. Who would I to be doing something like that? And here's the thing. God's got resources you know nothing about. He's got plans you can't possibly imagine. And when he calls you, you're terrified. Because there's this gap here between what you know you're capable of and what God's calling you to do. And God's like, yeah. If I wasn't in it, there wouldn't be a gap. If I wanted you to do what only you could do, I wouldn't be here to help you. You see, because in this gap, and now to him who was able to measure more all we could ask or imagine, to him be the glory. You see, because God gets all the credit for what happens in this gap. And the great thing about us, we just get to ride the blessing. You see, in this gap, God gets the glory, and we get the blessing of everything we've experienced these past 10 years. And it's scary. And you come up upon these times where you just don't know where the money's going to come from. You don't know where the help is going to come from. And as I think back over our staff, in just a moment, I'm going to show you a video of just several of the staff members who've been a part of Essential over the past 10 years. And as a pastor, one of the things that was a real great panic is I knew that God had called me to plant a church. But I remember very clearly in my prayers with God, I said, God, I can't do it. I'll do it when you send me the people. God never does it. He's like, no, you go, and then I'll bring people alongside. And that's why I went to be a part of an existing church plant, even though I'd rather be a part of a dying church plant than go out on my own, God. God's like, okay, I'm going to get you where I want you to go at some point or another. We'll get there. And so in that first year, we started off, in that first year, God blessed us with an amazing gift, and it was a guy named Pastor Rick Eschenberg. Rick had more experience than everybody on our team combined. He had a salary before he came to Essential that was bigger than everybody on our staff combined. And he just said, I believe in what you're doing. And God is here and God is moving. And I know that God is calling me up north, but as long as I'm here, I want to be a part of Essential in whatever capacity I can. And so can I just come on staff and be a part of this? And Pastor Rick actually taught me how to pastor a church of larger than 100 people because I'd never done it before. And God was preparing us for everything that would come. And so I knew that we were on borrowed time with Rick from day one. And I'll never forget, I was in the ER. I had aspirated pneumonia. I had a rupture in my stomach that bled. The blood ended up getting into my lungs. And so I had an oxygen saturation of less than 60%. And was basically really very near death if I had not gotten to the hospital. And so while I'm in there in the ER, still in the ER with this, and there are people all around, Rick comes in, and I knew that he'd been talking with the church at the time. I said, all right, Rick, I'm on my deathbed, perhaps. Are you leaving me? And I purposely did it because I didn't want him to go. Because I had this sense of fear of unknown and uncertainty. If Rick leaves, then what? Because I knew I had put some of my security for what was going to happen, where we were going to go, in a person. And when he left, I just remember getting back on my knees and saying, God, what now? What now? What now? And of course, as you know, that's when God brought us Pastor Bobby. And I just remember after that, because Bobby was amazing. I mean, so many of you, he's invested in so many of y'all's lives, and he was the perfect pastor at the perfect time for us for the years that he was here. And God did immeasurably more than we could ever have asked or imagined. And after that time, when I saw what God had done and how he had moved Rick to the place that's, you know, perfect for Rick, and you'll see that in just a minute, and he brought us in the perfect person at the perfect time, I said, all right, God, I will never again question a staff move. I will never again worry about who's going to fill that position. I'll never again worry about what comes next, because this is your church. And you bring here who you need to have here to do the essential work that you have done. And that goes for staff members, and it goes for church members. And I never worry whenever a church member says, hey, I feel like God's calling me to be a part of another church to serve there. Amazing, wonderful. Now, if you're not going anywhere, you better get your butt back here, because God's got an essential role for you to play. But after that, I never again question any staff move. And you're going to see in just a moment just the amazing staff members that we've had. And so without further ado, let's look back on some. You may not know all of them. That's okay. But each and every one of them have invested in where you're at right now.
Wow, 10 years. I can't believe it's been that long. It makes me feel pretty old, honestly. But one thing that gives me comfort is knowing that Pastor Steve is still 10 years older than me. So I'll always look back at my time at Essential with fondness. The thing that I remember most about Essential and the people there is the people. Everyone is so loving, so gracious, and so giving. It was completely unexpected for me as this hillbilly from Kentucky, and being so easily accepted, it meant a lot. I'll never forget that. My time at Essential is, and I'm sure will always be, a highlight of my life. And I'm very thankful to have been able to experience that. Essential and the people there are still the greatest example of Christ's love on earth that I've ever seen or felt or witnessed. And I hope that never changes. Congratulations on 10 years. Keep loving each other, loving God, loving yourself.
Happy anniversary, Essential. It's incredible to see where God has taken you from where you guys started in 10 years. Wow. My prayer is that you guys continue to just love and to welcome everybody that walks through those doors, and continue to be that pillar in the community that you have become. And
anniversary, Essential. For 10 years, you've been a place where people can gather and praise God together. I'm thankful for the church family I found at Essential. People like Sherry and April and Emily, I know I can count on them to fulfill any prayer request I might have. I will continue to pray that Essential will grow and be a place where like-minded Christians can gather and build relationships and find a church home. Way to go, Essential.
What's going on, Essential Church? Pastor Bobby Brown here. Just so excited to say congratulations on 10 great years of ministry in the Hampton Roads area. We had the opportunity and a great blessing to be a part of that for about 6 years. And we've seen a lot of things change. As a matter of fact, Pastor Steve still had hair when we showed up. So, you know, we watched lots of things happen, lots of great ministry, lots of wonderful people come to know the Lord. And we're excited to just say congratulations and looking forward to following you guys and seeing many, many years of great ministry in the Hampton Roads area. Congratulations.
Essential Church, what's going on? Happy 10-year anniversary. Are you kidding me? 10 years? It's already been 10 years? Man, that's amazing. And to think about all that God has done over those 10 years is an incredible thing. Pastor Steve, I love you. Essential Church, I miss you guys, man. I am cheering you on always, always from the side, cheering you on. I love seeing what God continues to do through that community. Amazing things are still happening, and that's just 10 years. This is just the beginning. The airplane's still on the landing strip. It hasn't even begun to take off yet. You guys are doing amazing things in your community. I love your heart for being essential in people's lives and teaching people about Jesus and his love for us. It's an incredible thing. Keep doing what you're doing. I still love you. Always be a part of my heart, and I'm cheering you on from the sidelines. God bless.
Essential Church from the streets of New Era, Michigan. New Era, where we don't do baseball hats. New Era, where we don't have potato chips, but we do have a cherry pie festival. So happy birthday. It's been 10 years, 8 years since you sent me packing with this Essential hat and long johns, not the donut kind, but the kind that keep you warm. And so, but what a trip, what a time. We love you. We remember Pop Rocks at the Pungo Strawberry Festival with great fondness. We remember church in a truck. We remember all kinds of times where we saw the hand of God move. And so happy birthday. Steve, my brother, I love you. keep being essential, I gotta get back into a building where it's warm.
Of all the things, though, that amaze me about essential is just your heart to genuinely be a true representation of Jesus Christ in the world. Jesus had this vision that when he would leave, when he would return back to heaven, that we would become the body of Christ, that somebody would know what it's like to be in the presence of Christ simply because they've been in contact with his church. And so our vision and our dream and our hope from day one is that whenever somebody would come in here, they would know what it's like to be in the presence of Jesus. And when he left, he says, I need you to be my witnesses. I need you to represent me. I need you to be me in your hometown, in your region, in your country, and to the ends of the earth. And once again, that's a pretty tall task when you think about it. I remember our first year, I remember thinking to myself, someday I would love to have a global impact or a global reach, but right now let's just see what we can do in our hometown. And it all started with one simple request from somebody in our church who wanted to reach out to a neighbor. And everything you're going to see in this video coming up next, every mission endeavor we've ever done as a church has come from somebody sitting in these seats right here. It's come from somebody who's been sitting here and said, I have a heartbeat to reach, and I feel like God is calling us to go there. Will you help? Can we be a part of this? And from that first day until now, we've always just said, you need to know that you and however many there are of us, there's almost 1,000 people who call Essential their church home, you and 1,000 of your closest friends are going to be in this together. So let's look up there and see what God has done in an amazing way through this church. Many years ago, I heard a statement which always stuck with me, and that is that the local church is the hope of the world. Shortly after the church began, a lady in our church came to me and said, I've got a neighbor who's got cancer, and is there any way that we can help her even though she doesn't come to church at Essential? And I said, hang on for a second. I want to challenge you on something. Number one, I want to let you know, I love that you have a heart to help your friend. But I got to challenge you on your understanding of church. Because you have to understand, the church is the hope of the world. And at the end of the day, the church is not here for you. The church is not here just to provide a safe place where you can hide from the rest of the world. The church is not here to be a Christian country club. The church is not here for you. We are the church, and we're here for the world. We are the church, and we are the hope of the world. And because we're the hope of the world, and because you are the church, I want you to go back and tell your friend that you and 100 of your closest friends are going to do everything we can to help her fight this cancer. We will be here every step of the way to reach out to her, to love on her, to provide meals for her, take her to the doctor if we have to, whatever she needs. She needs to know that you and 100 of your closest friends, who is the church, who is the hope of the world, is going to be here for her. It didn't just stop there. The following year, somebody came and said, I volunteer sometimes over at Friendship Village, and there's 110 low-income families that live in this multi-housing family development here in Virginia Beach called Friendship Village. And I just want to know if we could maybe provide like 25 of the families with turkey and something for Thanksgiving. And so I said, sure. And your response was so amazing as a church that we didn't just provide for 25 families, we provided for 110, all 110 families in Friendship Village. And it was the most amazing night. We went out there the week before Thanksgiving, and I felt like it was Oprah Winfrey's show. You get a turkey, you get a turkey, you get a turkey. It was just a fun, amazing night. And then the following year, a girl named Ariel came and said, I just feel like God is calling me to go and share the gospel in Iceland, and I've got this opportunity to go over there and spend some time over this next year. Is there any way that you can help me go there? And I said, well, if you've got a heart to go, we as a church have a heart to send you. And so we sent her to Iceland. A couple years later, Terry, who's from Texas, right where all the hurricanes hit, came and said, the hurricanes have absolutely destroyed my hometown. And I just feel like as if there's something I've got to do. And I want to go there, and I want to be able to provide some hope and some help. And I said, well, we are the church. We're the hope of the world. Terry, why don't you go get a truck? We'll pay for it. We'll fill it with supplies, and you take it down there so you can spread hope and the love and the gospel of Christ with your hometown and your community. And then this past year, Mike Harvey came and said, I've got a neighbor of mine, and her little daughter can't get into the backyard because she's in a wheelchair, and is there anything that we can do? And I said, Mike, you go tell that family that we, the church, who's behind you, because we're the hope of the world, and that's what we're here to do, is we're going to open up the back door of her house. We're going to put a deck back there so she can go out and she can enjoy the sunshine. Simply because the church is not here for us. We are the church, and we're here for the world. And because the church is not here for us, and because we're here for the world, that's why we've been providing Christmas presents for our local school right around the corner. That's why you don't just provide Christmas presents for them. You actually have been feeding their children who are in need every single weekend of the year. They are sent home with a backpack full of food. Why? Because we're the church, and we're here for the world. We're the hope of the world. That's why we go out and we serve tacos and pancakes every month to the homeless. Not only do we serve tacos and pancakes to the homeless, but at Christmas time, we want to bless them with a special present, and we've been giving them hats and gloves and flashlights. We give them clothes. We give them whatever they need just so we can let them know that Jesus Christ loves you, and He is the hope of the world, and we are the church, and we just want to represent Him in your life. We've also been feeding 300 children in Nicaragua. We fed them over 87,000 meals since we first started a partnership. Not only that, but we've sent them shoeboxes full of toys at Christmas, backpacks full of school supplies. We paid for camp tuition. We've gone down there to love on them and to serve them in a medical clinic and invest in their leaders. Why? Because we are the church, and the church is the hope of the world. Because we're the hope of the world, that's why we've been coming in here for years, rocking out to classic rock and 80s music so we can pack up meals. Since we started doing this, we have packed enough meals to feed 850,000 people in an effort and a hope to stop world hunger. Why? Because you're the church, and we are the church, and together we understand that we are the hope of the world. I'm more proud of us as a church for what you see in that video than anything else we've ever been a part of together. We've had some fun times, some crazy times, but at the end of the day, I just love being the church. I love being essential. I'm awed by the fact that God would tap each one of us on the shoulder and say, you have an essential role to play. And the plan that I've been forming since before the foundations of the world to redeem all of humanity. And Virginia Beach is your primary mission, and you've had over 10,000 people that I've entrusted to your care over the years. This year, we'll go over 500 baptisms, which I'm excited about. The missions that we've been doing right there are continuing to expand just this past week because you all continually give back a portion of what God has blessed you, so it meets the needs here in Virginia Beach as well as around the world. You're going to be building a house in Dominican Republic because they're able to rescue women out of Haiti that are being lured into sex trafficking by people who are trying to pull them out of Haiti. They've got safe houses in the Dominican Republic, and you are going to build a safe house for them this coming year, which will house at least 10 women. Because you guys just give back a portion of what God has blessed you with, you're going to be sending some Bible translators over to Papua New Guinea. I just like the way it sounds. I don't even know where it is on the map. It's just Papua New Guinea. But there's people there who do not have the Bible in their language, and part of the reason why is because they don't even have a written language. And so they've been working on translating, and somebody in our church knows these people from their childhood or something, and they're going over there, and they said, could we help them? Could we be a part of that? Well, sure. Why wouldn't we? And then Irwin, as he saw what we were doing in Nicaragua, he's from the Philippines, and he's got family who are back there, and they live in a very very impoverished. And we don't know what poverty is until you see that. And he just showed me some pictures of where it is, and he says, I just have this heart that would it's keeping me up at night, that we could do something there. Is there something that we could do? And so I said, Irwin, yes. And so he's going to head over there this Easter to hopefully cast a vision for a church. They've already gotten them to come on board to be able to provide for the homeless in their community and the children in their community, that maybe someday it would lead to a feeding center or whatever it would be that would meet their local need. And so they're looking to have about 200 to 300 people between the two locations that they're going to be set up at. And I said, Irma, we don't want to just fund this one-time thing. We want to be a part of this in an ongoing way. And so we're going to give you triple what you've asked for simply because we want you to be able to go there and cast a vision to have an ongoing, lasting impact. We don't want just a one-time thing for the homeless in that community. We want you to empower that church to be able to meet their needs throughout the year. So go out there and be the church on our behalf, because the church is the hope of the world. And I could go on. There's just many more things. We're going to be sending a missionary couple back out onto the high seas who go around to South America this coming year. It just continues. And I'm just excited to be a part of what we do as a church to become and be the hands and the feet of Christ throughout the world. Thank you so much for being essential these past 10 years. And I'm not even going to begin to ask God for the next 10. I think it would be a joke if I asked him. I think what he has in store is far beyond and immeasurably more than all I could ever possibly ask or imagine. Our role is just simply to step into the unknown and trust him with that gap. We join with you as we pray. Father, I just thank you for just being able to share in the amazing blessing of being your church. Father, the baptisms that we see and the children who are being fed is all because you've enabled us to be an essential part of what you're doing throughout the world. Father, I know you own every cattle on 1,000 hills and every dollar that's ever been minted, but you've entrusted each one of us with some. And your plan is to give us an essential role to give back a portion of what you've blessed us with. Your plan is for us to be your hands and your feet, both here in Virginia Beach and around the world. So, Father, may we continue to be the church and become a better and better representation of your Son, Jesus Christ, that all people would know that this life is about nothing more than a loving relationship with you for all eternity. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Essential Church Podcast. Let me encourage you to pause for a moment and reflect on what you've heard. It's not the hearing of the word, but the application that makes all the difference.